morning, everyone.
Good morning, Pastor Joe.
Have you ever, you turn the TV on and see any news clips? Have you ever felt like you're living here, you're living in another world than what's going on throughout the United States and spotlights?
Every day, amen.
I talked to my brother yesterday, and he says, I'm looking to buy some property in the country of Chaz. Something. And I thought, what? It's a section of Seattle downtown, they declared an independent country. It's called Chaz, I think. I thought, wow. You know, I've seen that, but I didn't quote it. A new country. And we were making jokes about it, you know, like, hey, I wonder if they want to build a wall, you know, to keep us Americans out. Stuff like that, you know. But it's really not funny. It's not, but it is a spirit of anarchy going through this country. And, you know, the enemy is really fighting back because the Lord must have something good for us, good in the United States, I think. Because, boy, you know, can anything else go wrong? You know, like the economy was going great, and that everybody, all of a sudden, everybody got to stay home and not work. And a lot of people, a lot of business people, small business people are hurt. A lot of things closing up because of this. And it's just one attack after another on different factions of the United States. So it isn't health, it's business or financial. Just our anarchy type things. And I was getting ready, I had the TV on this morning, maybe I shouldn't do that, put your mind somewhere else where it should be. But in New York, they filed a lawsuit against the governor. You know, like they have no problem with riots and marchers packed in by the thousands, Brooklyn Bridge, thousands of people on the Brooklyn Bridge, but yet you cannot have over 50 or whatever it is in church together. You know, it's like, wait a minute, what's the deal here? Government doesn't mind protesters and marchers around packed in like sardines, but in church it's very dangerous. So anyway, it's a strange time in America, but Marie was listening to somebody. And I don't know who that was, Marie, and when I say this, it should bring this to mind who it was, but he said to be praying about people who are part of this movement, but are believers, and they have good intentions. Who was that? Do you remember?
Rogers.
Oh, okay, that's a friend of hers. I think he's in Muskegon, right?
Yes.
In a way, working forward to pray for these people that their eyes open up, and there's a lot of them evidently in this country who are part of this protest movement and wanting social justice, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but this type of thing is being hijacked by anarchists and just crazies. But there's a lot of people with good intentions, good hearts that are involved in this. And we're came forward to pray for these people that they see the light, see you have good intentions, but this movement is being hijacked by the enemy. And
it's good, John.
Thwarting God's agenda, what God's plan for this country, because there's been so many prophecies and words about revival. The Lord doing something marvelous in our land, and I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I want it to start. I want it to happen. I want it to get going. But it seems like the enemy is raising up some kind of thing all the time, you know, whether it's financial or COVID-19 or, protests and all this. And this morning, I was watching on the news, they had a picture of a Paul Bunyan, I guess it's National Paul Bunyan Day or something like that, or Paul Bunyan Week. I know like Michigan claims him, Wisconsin claims him, and so does Minnesota. Minnesota had this big statue up in northern Minnesota with Babe the Blue Ox, and I was thinking, uh-oh, they better not show this big statue. They're going to go up there and tear that thing down. That's a terrible thing. That popped into my mind. You know, here's something innocent when you want to tear down Lincoln or somebody is spousing to tear down statues and pictures of Jesus because he's a white God. Like, wow, we are getting out there. You know, it's... So, I am just asking everybody to, in your prayer time, and the Lord hears every word that you pray, that you pray for these people. And I just look at a group, as these protesters, as a group. But what percentage of that is, they're kind of foolishly innocent, involved in this kind of thing.
Good.
That they would wake up and see the light and see that, hey, things are going way too far. And no one's perfect. Who has the right to call people from our past? Why hold them to account that, gee, they weren't perfect? They fought for the South. They advocated this. I see Princeton University just said they're going to take any kind of thing regarding Woodrow Wilson away from, they're going to, any building, anything, they're going to disassociate with Woodrow Wilson, who was a Democratic, somewhat left-leaning president way back when. Who are we to judge people from the past? Are we perfect? Who of these protesters and us, are we perfect? Who are we to hold these people accountable and tear down part of our history that is, you know, it's there. It's part of history. And you may like it, you may not like it, but really, anyway, it's a strange thing that's happening, and it's gotten, when it starts a little bit, it seems to go crazy, just radical, you know, tear down everything. Nothing is good. Nothing is worthy of in the past. Tear down Christopher Columbus statue, who, by the way, never set foot in the United States. He never came here at all, you know, and he was just down in the Caribbean, in those islands, Cuba and so forth. Never in the United States, so, but anyway, you know, just so many things like that. But just pray for that faction of the faction that is protesting, that they see the light, you know, and
hallelujah.
Keep them in your prayers, and that the Lord God move upon these groups. I guess there's always going to be those who are going to be, you know, outlandish behavior and attack everything that is American, everything that's stood for. I don't think there's a more giving nation in the world than the United States. And to call us the things that some of them are calling us. What other nation wins in two world wars? And what do we do? We rebuild the economy of our enemies. Most nations, most empires conquered nations and they took it over and enslave the people or whatever. What did we do in World War II? We rebuilt Europe. We rebuilt Germany. We give them their freedom. We rebuilt Japan after defeating them. What other nation does that on Earth? No one, no nation has ever done that. Ever. So, this nation has our, we've got our faults and we got things to overcome, but gee whiz, let's give our Lord God credit. We this nation was dedicated unto our Lord, and we may have not done it everything right, and the people have, you know, are not perfect, but this nation is a generous nation. 35%, it's estimated, of missionary dollars, work and everything, comes from the United States of America in the world. 35%, that's quite a jump. You know, and monies and missionaries and people and the airwaves, you know, the United States has got satellites going up, beaming Christian TV around the world. What other country does that, you know, for the gospel? For the gospel.
Amen.
And, so, let's be, we are thankful to the Lord, and let's also appreciate what this country has done, is trying to do, and the Lord, and the work that the Lord has yet to do in this country. And I think it'll be great if His people pray. His people pray and bring this nation before the Lord, and pray that He have His way in this country, and people see the light, you know, like,
amen. See
not
the light.
Everything is evil, you know, there's so much good in this country, and it's, we owe it all to the Lord, and His influence on His people.
Amen.
So, Father God, we thank You. We thank You for living in this country, Father God. And it seems like the enemy wants to tear this country apart. But I believe You established this country. These people way back when in the 1600s dedicated this land to You. Have they been perfect through the years and the centuries in this country, you know, treating native peoples and other peoples properly? No, Lord. No, we haven't. But you know what? We haven't done so much worse than the rest of the peoples throughout the ages, Lord. But we've tried to do better. And the better that we have done is because of You, Lord Jesus, and because of Your influence, because this country is dedicated to You. And Father God, I am thankful that we have try to spread Your gospel around the earth from this United States. And I pray, Lord God, that You strengthen the United States so that that we just not be a peaceful country, but we be a leader again, sending out the gospel, doing Your work that we are required to do, that You commanded us to do, to spread the gospel, to teach the world about Jesus so that the world may be saved through Him. So Father God, I pray that people remember those who are out there in the streets. Pray for them. Pray for that they see the light, that they come to just an understanding that the United States is a good country. Why are people trying to sneak in here and for dozens and dozens of years try to come to the United States? Why? Because we're a pretty good nation after all. Because of You, Lord God. And we just thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your hand upon the United States of America. And we pray, Lord, that Your agenda, the Lord God's agenda, go forth in this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whew, wasn't that a powerful time of prayer and praise?
Yes,
isn't God good? If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Psalm 66. Praise God for His awesome works.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
It says, make a joyful and shout to God, all the earth.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
All the earth.
All the earth.
Every nation. Hallelujah.
Shout out the honor of His name and make His praise glorious. Say to
Amen.
God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You.
Thank You, Lord.
They shall sing praises to Your name.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing towards the sons of men. He turns the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot, and there we will rejoice in Him. He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves.
Yes, amen.
Oh, bless our God, you peoples. Make your voice, his praise, to be heard, who keeps our souls among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined.
Amen.
You have brought us into the net. You have laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you a sacrifice of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cry out to him with my mouth, and he was exalted with my tongue.
Amen.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to my voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercies from me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Karen. Well, my message is living waters from the river of life. I'd like you to turn to Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. This is called the healing waters. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from underneath the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the sides of the temple south of the altar. Excuse me. Verse 2, he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. Verse 3, and when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water. The water came up to my ankles. Verse 4. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And the water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. Verse 5. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Verse 6. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. Verse 7. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Verse 8. And then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, where the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Now we sang that. Wherever the river goes, the Lord is in it. The Holy Spirit is in it. When the Bible talks about fish It's talking about the harvest to come in. You see, we got tons of people out there waiting to hear the good news about the Lord, but we have very few laborers. It's always been that way. But the Lord is looking for those who will go out and bring in. Verse 10, it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglion, and they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Verse 11, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to the salt. And verse 12, powerful, powerful word. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees that will be used for food. And their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Now, the Holy Spirit can flow from you, not me, you, as living waters and rivers of life that brings life-giving touch to God and those all around you. You guys, most of you are from here. How many of you have truthfully invited someone to church? When you invite someone to church, you need to pray about that, and the Holy Spirit will draw them in. In John 7, 37 through 9, it says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And verse 38 says, whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And verse 39, by this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up till that time, the Spirit had not been given. And since Jesus had not yet been glorified, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would flow from within believers like rivers of water. That's what verse 38 says. It has to flow from you. And what I really love is that Ezekiel 47 that gives you an inspiration that people have got to want to thirst. They've got to want a change. They've got to see that things can change. And I kind of just wrote it out, so let me kind of skip those pages a little bit here. Ezekiel saw a river of life-giving water flowing from God's altar to the temple. The church, the sanctuary, the river of living water should flow out of here. But you are the temple. The word of God says you are the temple. And so when you built yourself up, when you spent time in his presence, you're supposed to be so full of the word, so full of him, that you want to give it out. And what is so important about the river is this. Wherever it flows, wherever the Holy Spirit goes, there's life. I don't know about you today, but as we were singing these songs, I could just feel him. I could feel him all around me up here. And so I really want you to study that out about the Holy Spirit, that he is the river of living waters. And I suggest that a person can take five approaches when the river's flowing. Now, I've already talked to you about getting in at your ankles. I've already talked about getting up to your knees. I've already talked about getting to your waist. But God is calling us to go deeper in the Word, deeper in Him. He wants to show us things. You see, so often we want to do things our way, but we have to get in His presence and ask for strategies. He's the only one that can give us strategies. He is the only one that can help us reach out to people. And this is what I wrote down here, is I've had a lot of visions about rivers. And when Joe was mentioning this pastor from Muskegon, he talked over and over again about the holy oil, which I'm going to talk about next Sunday. Please don't miss, it's powerful. But he talked about seeing a funnel of oil coming down upon Canada, Mexico, the state of Washington, and it just went on and on and on. And this is what I want to tell you. That is where most of the chaos has taken place. And the only thing, excuse me for saying it that way, Lord, but the only situation, the only way that that can be changed is by the Holy Spirit. It's by Jesus. So the river has got to flow. The river's got to flow out of Canada. The river's got to flow to Washington. You know, there just has to be this flowing that Christians really get on their knees and start praying, Holy Spirit, flow with your living water into these different areas, into these different nations. And for me personally, it's almost like a burden that I'm not supposed to carry. But I'm telling you right now, I really feel that people are asleep. And so the Lord's been awakening the church to get into His presence, to get into His Word, as I've heard Joe always say, and spend time with them. And what I wrote here is that there are five approaches about this flowing river. So where is this river going? And this is how I feel. I ask the Lord, please, Lord, make your people in Benzie County, in this whole northern region, hungry for you, hungry for an answer, hungry for a change. And that river can flow because we speak it out, and it can cleanse the land. There's got to come a cleansing to the land. There's got to come a cleansing to the church. That's the fire. And this is what I wrote down here. Is you can stay on the bank and do nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but many times when I go to the water and I'm really hot, I'll just step my feet in the water and it feels so really great. But what does the bank have to do with what I'm talking about? The bank means that if they never get in the river, they're never going to get saved. We have many, many people who are not saved. They don't know the difference. They don't even know what's going on right now. And the Lord is saying that you can either be on the bank or get in the river. And when you get in that ankle-deep water, what does that mean? It is the initial presence of the Holy Spirit. That's salvation. It's a free gift. And you go a little bit further, you wade a little bit in the water, I've done that, and I go to my knees. And what that means is that the Holy Spirit is in you, and you can witness to people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is described in Acts 1, 5, and 8, and Acts 2, 4. The baptism, the heavenly language that the Lord wants to give. And then you can wade just to your waist, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That means that you can flow. You can stand waist deep, and you can just flow and flow and flow in God's river. I don't know about you, but that's important to me. I hope everybody in here has gone through water baptism because it is very important. And so if you have not, please do so, because what that is saying is that you're dying of yourself. Everything that happened in your past. You ever notice it's like, did this happen to me, and that happened to me, and that happened to me, and it's just like you just dig up the past all the time. You just can't leave it in the water. You can't leave it with the Holy Spirit, because really whatever that is in us human beings is we like talking about woe is me and look what happened to me and I blow it and I've been in a crisis. And you know what? Until you really forgive, until you let it go, there can't be any change in you. And I know that sounds nasty, and I'm really trying to be kind about it. But you know, I could stand before you and say, all these things have happened to me, and I could just cop a nasty attitude. But when I gave it to the Lord, He just helped me get through it. And sometimes it was hour by hour, day by day. It was a process that I had to go through. And you know what? It allows me to be able to tell you what the Holy Spirit can do in your life.
Amen.
He can change everything.
That's right.
Amen. And then I put down here that when you enter the living waters, it's truly over your head. And what does that mean? That means that you've yielded and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to be 100% in charge of your life. You know, I want you to hear that. And I don't know how to express it any better than that. But you know, when you let the Holy Spirit have control of your life, or you go to get in the water, you know, I remember when I got my life-saving degree so that, you know, I could help, you know, tell people and do all this stuff. And I can still remember my coach saying to me, Marie, if you don't get underneath that water, you're not going to get your certificate. Now, I could swim with the best of them. I could swim on top of the water in my young days. I was pretty good at it. Now I kind of float. But I used to swim pretty good, but I hated to go underneath the water. I still do. Even when my sister came one time and she was a certified scuba diver for the sheriff department, she taught our kids when they were little how to scuba dive, and she took me, and I was out of that water so gosh darn fast, I went deep, and boom, I was up. And my sister said, don't you ever, ever come out of the water like that again. And I said, whoo, it's too dark down there. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. Don't like the pressure on my chest. Can't breathe, can't see, and I just had this little fit. I want you to hear this. And she said to me, well, you know what? You could have just blown your lungs worse. Because I came up so fast, you guys. And this is what the Holy Spirit showed me last night as I was talking with them. He wants all of us to get in that deep water. Because, you know, when you can't see, you end up using your other receptors, such as hearing. I don't know. I'm just trying to explain to you that when you give everything over to the Lord, He takes over. And that means you have to go deep in Him. I don't know about you, but I know me real well. And sometimes it's like, I don't give full control. Or I might say it, hey, I'm giving the Holy Spirit full control of my life. Then I notice something going on over here, and I just go right back over to that same spot. What the Holy Spirit is saying is when you can go deep, when you can go in the dark, when you have nothing around you, the Holy Spirit is there and He'll bring you up. And I'm telling you, that takes a lot of maturity to do that. Because most of us, it takes a faith and a trust factor that some of us have to learn. But the Holy Spirit says, you're no longer in control. Isn't that kind of hard sometimes? You know, I love my Joe. I do. I love him. But you know what? The Holy Spirit oversees what we do all the time. And if we didn't tune our ears in and tune what He's trying to show us, we'd be in trouble. Because there's things that the Holy Spirit can do that you and I can't do. But we're supposed to be able to. He wants to teach us to do it. Are you hearing me this morning? In verse 6, it says, Son of man, do you see this? And the hasty answer that most of us say is, oh, of course, Holy Spirit. I get it. But do we really see this morning what the Holy Spirit is having us to do? In my vision, as well as this other pastor, we saw these rivers that came off the main river. And the Holy Spirit sent us down those rivers. And he gave us different things to do, whether it was going on the land to encourage a person, or whether it was to pray for a person, or whatever. And sometimes Joe was with me, and sometimes he was not. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, are you willing to die of you, what you think you're to be doing, and say, Holy Spirit, consume me today. Give me direction. Show me what I'm to do. Now, if we could all be honest right now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes tell the Holy Spirit what I should be doing. Well, I think I should. And I learned the hard way. And so I'm trying to show you that when you surrender everything to him, he just takes over. In 2 Peter 1:21, it said that we can be carried along by the Holy Spirit. That is, when we are baptized and filled with the Spirit, but we have to know how to yield. That is so hard. It's so hard to yield. I don't know if it's a mindset. I think it's a mindset. I think it's a physical part of us too. But when we can totally yield and follow the Lord, that wherever the river flows, there's life, and we can be a part of that. And one of the things that's said in the Word of God is this. You know, it talks about how the river would empty into a dead sea. And that salty sea, it is very, very salty, and nothing lives there. But back in the biblical times, way back in the Old Testament times, I was told by people that mentored me that the Dead Sea was very full of fish and full of life and full of whatever. And it says here that when the Lord returns, that the water that is emptying in the Dead Sea will become alive again. And Joe and I have read a lot of prophecies about that, how that works and how that does anything. But the Dead Sea is stagnant, it is stale, and it is lifeless. But it can be made fresh and vibrant again by the Holy Spirit. So what does that have to do with you and me? I don't know. When I go through storms, when I have certain things hit me, I have this pity party time that I'm the only one that is suffering in the world. Right? Don't we all do that? And what the Lord is saying is, like, when we have that attitude, it's like he can't flow through us because we're so stagnant. And the Holy Spirit can speak life into us so we feel like, hey, you know what? I can make it another day. Hey, I can minister to someone. And you know what I love the most is to be a fisherman. Now, if I was hearing from the Holy Spirit right now, and I walked down this aisle here, and the Holy Spirit said, go grab Karen, put her in the army. Go grab Joe, put her in the army. go get Grand Laura, put her in the army. What I'm trying to say is when we get full of Him, it's like we have spiritual ears to hear what we're supposed to be doing. Is that not powerful? That is so powerful to me. And so it said in verse 10 when we read it, that fishermen will be standing along the shore. And He doesn't just want us to bring people along with us. He wants us to be effective. And that's a powerful word, effective. And the Lord showed me this for a lot of years. The fish, there are many kinds. There's many nations. There's many colors to different people. Are you hearing me this morning? I know there's noise out in the kitchen, but I don't want that to take away from what I'm saying. What I want you to really hear is this. The Lord loves everybody. Even all the people that are listening, you know, on Facebook from other nations, He loves everybody. God loves everybody. He does. He died for everybody. But He's calling people home. He's calling people to come and be a part of the Holy Spirit. So in verse 10 that I read to you, the Holy Spirit said this to me, Marie, don't limit your vision. What vision? I asked that today with everybody sitting here. I don't care if you're Chris's age. I don't care if you're Joan my age. What is your vision? Is it about you getting a house and you getting a job and you doing this? Or is your vision to get as many souls to the kingdom as possible? That's what we're supposed to be about. When we do God's work, He takes care of us. That's so powerful. I learned that so late in life. Do His work and He will give you provision. He will give you a job. He will give you all that. But do His work. Be fishers of, and get out there. Fishermen, bring them in. But the Holy Spirit said, don't limit that vision and don't limit mine. I remember when we first started this church here, Joe had a vision not to limit the Holy Spirit by putting Him in a box. The Holy Spirit can do whatever He wants, people. Come on. You know, we have this little schedule of service here so we know what we're doing, all the people in leadership, but you know what? When the Holy Spirit moves, I don't care about this.
Right.
Because the only way that you're going to be healed, the only way you're going to be touched, is to be thirsty and get in the river. Flow with the Holy Spirit. I put down here that one of the things I constantly have to tell myself is this, that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the grave.
Hallelujah.
So why do we limit Him and think that He can't raise us from the grave that many of us are in? Our pity party, this, that. How do we know that the Holy Spirit can't heal that person that is dying in the hospital? How do we know that the Holy Spirit can't take care of this COVID-19? I believe He's the answer.
Amen.
And we limit Him.
Amen, yeah.
He's the answer. The one thing I put down here is that He can bring light to every kind of people. That's what it said in verse 10. That means the Muslims, the Hindus, the goddess worshipers, the unbelievers of every sort. He can bring you to a realization of who Jesus Christ is. So who are we to condemn anybody or to make nasty comments about anybody? We need to speak life out of our mouth and encourage other people to come to Jesus. God is a good God. The harvest of souls, I'm telling you right now, there are plenty out there. and I think we need to have an urgency in our spirit. We don't know the exact time or the exact whatever when Jesus is going to return, but I'm going to tell you right now, I believe it's closer than you and I even know. That means that all these little things that we think are so important, they're not as important as souls for the kingdom. It says here that the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. I don't know about you, but that's a warning. That's a warning to us. That when we think we got it all together, he'll humble you real fast. When we think that we're in charge of everything, we're not. When we let our personal problems, instead of trusting God and handing them over to God, we just stagnate that water so that it's not alive. And he wants our water, what's in us, to be alive, to be fresh, and to be vibrant. I looked out there as we did these songs. I don't know about you. I ain't up here to entertain you. And I don't really care what you think about me. What I care about is that you get in that water with me, because I don't want you to be here when I'm gone. I want every person that is in this place to be, I don't know the right word, but to awaken. We need to care. I want to be in that river. I want to flow where the Lord wants me to flow. If he wants Joe and I to stay here at Hilltop, we'll stay here at Hilltop. If he wants us to go elsewhere, I'm going elsewhere. Where are you going to be? What does he want you to do? What is your call? Well, I just sit here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You don't? Do you know how to write a letter? Maybe you could write a letter and encourage kids to come here and invite them to come here. Sometimes kids just want to be asked. I believe that there's a call here. They ask kids to be involved. Hey, come on, we'll set up a tent out here. Hey, let's have a bonfire. Hey, let's kind of meet. Hey, let's have such and such time. Let's go. Come on. Or maybe you're in drama. Well, I am good at drama, but what? These kids love drama. Get them going in drama. Get them going and using the flags. Come on. We got to move. And one of the things that melted my heart was, I'm not advertising it, but I don't know if it was the voice or if it was Something's Got Talent, I don't know. But anyways, these kids were getting up. They were only, I would say, 8, 10 years older than the ones that I were watching. We've got a generation that is out there that we need to tap with. We need to talk with them. We need to see what they're all about. I mean, I heard these 8 and 10-year-old kids sing. It was unbelievable. But some of the kids that were that young, it was just what they had memorized, you know, like what they had practiced. Nothing against that. But my point is, they didn't know about Jesus. They had worldly songs, and those little girls were flipping their hips and whatever you want to call it, and dancing this and that. And I thought, oh, dear Jesus. We've got to teach integrity. We've got to teach kids. We've got to tell them, give them a foundation. The other thing I put down here is, what fruit do you bear? Well, one minute, you're the nastiest person in your subdivision. You're the nastiest person in your house. And then, oh, hey, come to church. Hey, hey, hey. You know, you turn on, you turn off. You turn on, you turn off. You know, when our attitude is wrong, the hardest thing is to say, hey, I'm sorry for what I did. That's for you. But you can't be two different people. You have to be who you are here on Sunday morning and the same out there in the field, because you know what? Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. Otherwise, you're not witnessing, because you know what? you got to ask the Lord to help you every day. Lord, change me. Let them see the good in me. So I wrote down here that we need to bear fruit. The fruit of souls need to be won. The fruit of disciples growing in God. So what the Holy Spirit is saying today and impressed on me was to say this to you, is that you got to get in the water over your head. You've got to trust in Him. You got to draw closer to Him. You got to yield who you think you are and totally flow with God. And let those waters flow to other people. You got something to give. You got something to share. And the last thing that the Holy Spirit placed on my heart was this. Where the river flows, everything is alive. So either we get in the river and we receive the joy and the instructions that He has for us to do. Is that not powerful?
Awesome.
Now, come on, let's give the Lord a clap for this. There's a lot of people, you know, and I'm not trying to be nasty, but we need to have an urgency in our spirit.
Amen.
To flow with the Lord and what He has for us to do. I really would like to see, like I said, more Christian people in government, and I'd like to see more Christian people, you know, teaching kids doing different things, you know. I'm really serious about this. We all have to be willing. I mean, you have to care. And if not, you don't belong here. Because I really believe with all my heart that the Lord wants us to grow. And it's not my job, and it's not Joe's job. It's your job. It's every one of our jobs to be reaching out to others. Serious. And tell them about Jesus. Isn't that powerful? Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, I ask that you seal this. I ask, Father, that your glory will be known. I ask, Father, that people will get in the river, Father, and go over their heads and trust in you for every circumstance of their life, Lord God. Everything that we do, Father, may it bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name, the name above all names, really the only name. Amen.
Oh.